So thank you for the warm introduction. And I am, again, Paloma Luisi. I'm from the Healthcare Innovation Technology Lab. And I'll be presenting about a project that we did that involved integrating the role of community pharmacists in a patient-centered medical home in Ossining, New York. And we are very focused on innovative and new technologies to increase access to care. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm the research associate there. I worked with the HIT Lab previously as a grant writer, consultant, was in public health fundraising for a long time, and have moved over to research. And I'm currently an MPH student at the CUNY School of Public Health at Hunter College in New York, part-time. So I want to thank my researchers, who are all listed here, who are affiliated with the HIT Lab, who also worked on this project. The HIT Lab is dedicated to improving the global healthcare system by researching, teaching, and publishing innovative and cost-effective technological methods and other tools. We are a cross-disciplinary public health technology research group. We focus on a range of approaches, including supporting access to information and services, and empowering patients with transformative clinical self-care technologies. Okay, so the McKesson Corporation actually funded this research, so I do actually have to disclose that, but it was more of a corporate research grant than them trying to get anything out of us. Okay, so a bit of background, our setting for the study was the Open Door Medical Center, located in Ossining, New York, which is in Westchester, the county above the Bronx. The objective of our research was to capture differences among a patient population of diabetics who receive medication therapy management, who were to receive a medication therapy-based intervention from their local community pharmacist. Elements of the intervention included emphasizing the role of the pharmacist as a diabetes care team participant, offering reminders and timed appointments to promote adherence, and pharmacists provided medication therapy management and other educational tools. The study period was about a year. The actual intervention for the patient lasted 90 days. We had the IRB process, the recruitment process, and all of the other things that go along with the study as well. So the patient-centered medical home. It's a healthcare setting that facilitates partnership between individual patients, their primary care physician, other healthcare professionals, and when appropriate, family members. Care is facilitated by registries, information technology, and health information exchange to get patients care when and how and where they need it. The PCMH model outlines a payment structure that intends to provide compensation for medical consultation outside traditional face-to-face visits. This combines fee-for-service, pay-for-performance, and a separate payment for care coordination and integration. So pharmacists are a critical care component for patients, especially those with chronic conditions and those who take daily medications. So where does the pharmacist fit in this model? So right now it's not fully defined. We know that they can provide a range of medication consultations, including medication therapy management, patient education, access to immunizations. You know, you can get your flu shot at the pharmacist now today, and it will be reimbursed by your insurance company. They also can provide support. They also can communicate with your physician. Additionally, in an already overburdened primary care system, pharmacists can provide support to primary care physicians and nurse practitioners by providing face-to-face time with patients dealing with complex case management and chronic disease management, which often means multiple prescriptions, changing doses, and low adherence, very low adherence sometimes. Okay, so what is medication therapy management? It is an evidence-based practice. There's a lot of research surrounding that. It does work. It sort of originated from the Medicare Prescription Drug Improvement and Modernization Act of 2003. Which made provisions for the reimbursement by healthcare professionals, not just pharmacists, to offer medication therapy management to patients meeting specific risk criteria. Research has found that MTM can improve patient self-management, resulting in better compliance and ultimately leading to improved health outcomes and decreased healthcare costs. Core components of MTM. Include notification regarding contraindications, educating patients, identifying potential and actual adverse drug events, and reviewing patterns of drug use, which could be low adherence or overuse of drugs, whichever way you're dealing with it. So despite the 2003 Act, there still exist barriers to reimbursement, especially among community pharmacists that may lack the infrastructure or billing system to account for MTM with their customers. This whole sort of retail clinical disconnect that the system is not built to provide for reimbursement. Okay, so here's a map. Thankfully, New York is still there after Hurricane Sandy. But you can see there's Manhattan, and then that's Westchester, and that's northern Westchester on the Hudson River is where Ossining is located. It's Open Door is a PCMH-certified site by the National Committee on Quality Assurance. There's four sites throughout Westchester. Our site was located in Ossining. And 800 patients are treated there every day. 40,000 are treated over the course of a year. 93% of the patients are 200% below the federal poverty line. 54% of patients are uninsured. Yet they have really good overall clinical outcomes. 80% of patients had a visit with their PCP, their primary care physician, in the last year. 75% of their diabetes patients actually have controlled A1C levels, which is a main marker of diabetes control. Open Door offers a unique patient advocate program that provides support through group and individual counseling sessions for patients dealing with chronic conditions or complex healthcare issues. This whole sort of health literacy component where patient advocates help translate the information that's being given to patients by their primary care physician. A bit about our sampling criteria of our study. The patient had to be a member of Open Door Clinic, older than 18, have type 2 diabetes with a year-long diagnosis, use one of these local pharmacies that we partnered with, which was quite common, and they could be English or Spanish speaking. We had capabilities to deal with both. A bit about our study design. Patient advocates were employed by Open Door. They identified eligible patients, contacted them in the clinic or prior to a scheduled visit, and sought informed consent for participation in a 3-month study. Goal was to recruit 30 patients. Patient advocates would then inform the study subject's pharmacy of participation. The community pharmacist would schedule preliminary medication therapy management session and report back to the physician using a pharmacist report. The community pharmacist would then schedule additional appointments to align with future prescription refills. The intention was to provide 3 medication therapy management sessions during the course of the 90-day study. This largely did not happen because patients were extremely non-adherent to filling their prescriptions, as in not even showing up to fill the initial prescription, let alone refill prescriptions. So we had to modify our protocol to allow patient advocates as well as the pharmacist to reach out to patients to schedule the medication therapy management sessions. Okay. So the intervention was based on medication therapy management, which includes reconciling medication lists, reviewing, inquiring, and observing about adverse interactions and contraindications, educating about side effects, giving instructions with regards to taking medication, reminding patients when medication was due and letting them know that they would be called to be reminded, and reviewing other medication and supply needs while they're in store. And then the pharmacist fills out the report sheet and provides it to the primary care physician at Open Door Medical Clinic. The pilot study included qualitative and quantitative data collection at baseline and end line. We did surveys and focus groups and interviews and also field work at the site to measure patient satisfaction with diabetes care, physician satisfaction with the intervention, pharmacist satisfaction with the intervention, and then the clinical outcomes. So this was done 90 days after the initial pharmacist visit. So here was our timeline for the study. This is our revised timeline. Recruitment took a lot longer than we expected. And it took us a long time to get 30 study subjects. Okay, so let's look at our clinical outcomes. There was actually a statistically significant reduction in HbA1c levels, the 6.8 reduction. There were reductions in the other clinical measures, BMI, systolic blood pressure, and I always forget what this stands for, low-density lipoprotein, which is the bad cholesterol. So those weren't statistically significant, and I should caution that we were only able to gather clinical data for 25 patients, and 5 were lost to follow-up. limitations, low sample size limits the generalizability of our findings. There was a, the short duration of the study may mean that seasonal bias could affect our findings. The study took place during the summer, so people are more active, they're more likely to lose weight. We didn't have the enough data to do a sort of time regression on that, seasonal-based regression. HbA1c may also be a problematic measure for a statistically significant finding of our study because it should be actually measured as across an average of 90 to 120 days, and our study was only over 90 days. As I mentioned, five patients were lost to follow-up, and based on their clinical profiles, they may have, they probably would have reduced our positive effect size. Okay, so let's talk about our qualitative findings because that's the most exciting part of this study. So, and why I'm in the HIT group at all is because we found that this e-prescription system does not allow for pharmacist response. So pharmacists telephone or email physicians and they never hear back. They never get validation and there is a disconnect. It is essentially that the e-prescription system is dependent on a prescription fill. So there's a section for comments, but it's dictated by the interest and time constraints of the physician filling in the comment section, and e-prescription is essentially a one-way tool, and its use is dependent on the physician. And the pharmacist doesn't have the space to respond. In our study, the pharmacist sent a fax, and that was scanned into the e-clinical work system at Open Door Medical Center. And there was never any validation. If even if there was a medication lapse, the pharmacist never heard back from the physician. So what does that mean? So we have this ideal process, right, that scripts are sent via the e-prescription system, pharmacists reported to Open Door their findings from the medication therapy management session, oh, the patient did this or said this, or their concerns about this medication. The pharmacist sends the fax to eClinical Works, and it's assigned to the physician responsible for viewing. And in the real world, the pharmacist delayed sending the medication therapy management fax because of process and time limitations, as all clinicians have, all healthcare professionals have. Pharmacists, again, were unsure if the fax was received. Physician didn't confirm or respond. And then the patient advocates who had the time and the connections to sort of read the faxes and do something with them were totally shut out of the process. Okay, so a little bit about our findings. I also just want to sort of say we don't know if our improved clinical outcomes had more to do with medication therapy management or better coordination between the pharmacist and the Open Door clinic outside of our study protocol. Our findings do suggest that extending the PCMH model into the community pharmacist sector could work, but it will require greater integration. We found there's this general lack of understanding between clinicians and healthcare professionals about the value of health IT in the management of diseases and in the PCMH model. Yet we know that health IT is a promising tool for bridging the gap between providers and community pharmacists and also increasing drug adherence. The federal government supporting health IT through practices and hospital systems that adopt technologies that meet CMS meaningful use requirements, but the focus of these guidelines is largely on electronic health records and e-prescribing. It's actually shutting out community-based professionals who may lack the infrastructure to incorporate meaningful use guidelines into their work. We also know that medication therapy management has the potential to improve compliance and meet this clinician communication disconnect. And again, health IT can meet the needs of pharmacists, physicians, and patients in the PCMH model, but we need to build new tools. So, why is this important? Community pharmacists are a fundamental component of patient care today in America, and they shouldn't be overlooked. They dispense 1.5 billion prescriptions annually outside of this CVS and Walgreens and Rite Aid. Community pharmacists are prescribing and an integral part of small communities in America. Research has found that community pharmacists using MTM can save patients $60 to $90 annually. And given the rise in this sort of trend towards medication therapy management, based on this increase in chronic disease and medication use in America, information communication technologies need to provide support to practitioners of medication therapy management so they can receive reimbursement and record their sessions. Other research has also shown that medication therapy management has a return of investment of $1.29 per $1 spent in medication therapy management administrative costs. So while there is a disincentive to do medication therapy management, once they do it, there are cost savings on the pharmacist and the patient level. Given the added patient volume the system's likely to see in 2014, health IT is a necessity right now for increasing the strength and efficiency of communication between pharmacists, physicians, and patients. So what did we do at the HIT Lab? So we not only study innovation, but sometimes we work with innovators to develop. And we are proposing and working on this kind of e-prescription system. And what would it look like? Based on our qualitative findings, the pharmacist could provide information about whether scripts were filled, explanations of why they're not filled, medication possession ratio is a good marker of adherence when you have little else to work with, findings on patient drug management, open-ended email correspondence, information on insurance coverage, and then could also request new scripts, prescriptions on behalf of patients. The pharmacist would want clinical measures, some of these big things that are important with chronic disease management, risk stratification levels, patient recent discharge status, and explanation for duplicate scripts and comorbidities so that we can prevent adverse drug events, right? So this could be something like a portal on top of an EHR. It could be some other innovative system, but we're proposing that this is a necessity and that this is where the pharmacist-physician interaction is going and is lacking right now. So that's about it, and I will be happy to answer questions now, or if we want to wait till after our second presentation, or maybe you can just... Okay, great, thank you.